Welcome to episode 8 of Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and let's get right into things. The first thing we have to talk about today is a reveal that we expected, but we didn't know was going to be coming just now. The 2022 Toyota 86, or should I say Toyota GR86 now. Yeah, that's right, Toyota has now added the new Gazoo Racing division to their new Toyota 86, which is their little two-door sports car you see coming around. A lot of people have made fun of these things because they have been repeatedly been slow, and they're known to be slow. And a lot of car people buy these cars thinking they have fast cars, and they put a bunch of mods on them, and they're still slower than most sedans and things like that. That's kind of the running joke of these cars. But Toyota's come back with a new version of the car. Unfortunately, they haven't added much more horsepower, if any at all, but they have tuned it a little bit to make it at least a little bit more fun. It shares the same chassis as the BRZ, which, you know, it always has, but Toyota has said they have tuned it to be different than the BRZ and to handle much more different than the BRZ, so it'll be interesting to see head-to-head comparison tests about those cars, because they, you know, if they handle different, or if Toyota's just kind of lying about that one, trying to get some sales with it. But, you know, who knows? We'll have to wait and see when the new BRZ gets revealed. But yeah, 2.4 flat 4 with rear-wheel drive. Not much has changed from that, but the mechanical upgrades, including new brakes and new engine parts and transmissions and things like that, have been upgraded by a lot. We have a larger displacement in the flat 4. It's said to produce 232 horsepower and 184 pound-feet of torque, according to Toyota's global specs, but the U.S. version was usually going to be around 228, which is a little bit unfortunate, but 4 horsepower, it was going to be slow regardless. It doesn't really matter too much. It's going to be coming with a 6-speed manual as standard, with a 6-speed automatic as an optional, which I think is the way it should be. Toyota, the styling, they have changed the styling quite a bit. I'm not too big of a fan of it. I have heard a lot of people say good things about it, but I think they made it look way too much like the new 400Z. I mean, the headlights are almost identical, along with that front grille pattern. It kind of looks the same to me, and I don't really like that. I kind of like the angled, kind of angry look that the BRZ and the old 86 used to have, but, you know, I don't hate it. I think that people will grow to like it. I do like the rear diffuser, or the rear bumper at least. I think that looks great. Taillights, I'm not too big of a fan. They kind of look Civic-ish to me, but again, they're not horrible. Nothing on the design makes it look like an ugly car. It's not an ugly car at all. I just don't think that they modernized the 86 in the way that they should have modernized the 86. I think that the 86 was, out of all of the, you know, out of the BRZ and out of the 350Z, 370Z, the 86 was always the more angular, kind of planted, wide-hipped version, or wide-hipped car, I mean, out of all of them. And I think that with this styling, they've taken a lot of that away from it and kind of made it more like a new Toyota and not like a new Toyota 86. I feel like it kind of lost its identity as a car as the company evolved. But, again, I don't hate it. I just think it looks a lot more Toyota-ish, which, to be fair, is a good thing. I would rather it look more like the company it's from, because the BRZ and the 86 used to look so similar. So if they're moving farther away from each other, hopefully the next generation 86 will be its own new kind of style, and then BRZ will keep that angular kind of look. But whichever way they do it, I would rather one be that more angular looking style, because that was the one that I personally really enjoyed. I personally really liked it. I know a lot of car makers have been moving away from sharp angles and things like that. We see it with the even the new F-Type, I think moved in the wrong direction. I think the F-Type's best looking features where it's sharp angles and sharp curves, and the new one kind of just got rid of all of them. I don't really know why it's a trend in the car community right now, or the car industry right now. I guess it does add a modernized look to the cars, in photos and things like that, but honestly, in person, it really doesn't do it for me. But again, that could be personal preference. A lot of people do like these cars, and if you like the new 86, then you got a new 86 that you wanted, the round more rounded, more planted and things like that, then this car is for you. But for me personally, I'm not too big of a fan of it. It's going to start around $31,000, which is a fair price, or at least it's expected to start around $31,000. I don't see it going for very much more than that or less than that. That seems like a pretty solid estimate to me. It won't go back on sale in Japan until the fall, and we will, as the US is scheduled to get it, I think. Sorry, give me one second. Yeah, we'll get it by the end of 2021. So probably winter for us. Japan's most likely going to, I mean, obviously going to get it before us. It's a Japanese company. But yeah, that is the new 86. I do like them tagging on the Gazoo Racing division. I think that it's a very underrated division in Toyota. You see TRD on everything, but Gazoo Racing has done quite a few good things, and they don't really get much representation in the model cars, so I think that adding it to the 86 gives the 86 a little bit more of its own personal identity, as long as giving the Gazoo Racing a little bit of a showcase there, which is good on both ends, obviously. I do really like the another highlight for me is the 6-speed manual being a standard. I think that automatic transmissions are, they're harder to make, and they obviously should cost more. So why not make, a car enthusiast who takes the time to learn how to use a manual transmission and wants to use a manual transmission, something that to most people is a burden, they should be paying less for the vehicle, because it is harder to use a manual transmission, so an automatic transmission should be more expensive. It's a win-win for the car company and the car enthusiast. The only person who loses here is the average customer, which again isn't the best business model, but most people are willing to pay a couple $100 for an automatic transmission. So you may get a few thumbs down on the website, but people are still going to be buying your cars. Other than that, there aren't really too many other highlights. I mean, it is an 86, and although they did make a lot more changes than they usually do year to year this year, with no more horsepower than it had before, I can't see it being that much more fun, really. The 86 has never really a car that's been appealing to me. I was always more of a 350Z guy, and I still am with the 400Z. I think the 400Z is a much better option than this new 2022 GR86. I think it's only going to appeal for people who want to customize this specific looking car and this specific style of car, because the 400Z has a pretty unique slick back roof style that some people may not, may not be for you. If that's the case, then yeah, go with this. But if you can get over, a slick back roof, which to me already looks better than this car, I think that the 400Z is still blows this out of the water. It is going to be more expensive, obviously, but they are comparable cars, performance-wise and spec-wise and things like that. So if you have the extra money to cough up, 400Z for me with no contention really. Yeah, so that's gonna wrap up the 2022 Toyota GR86. Final thoughts: get a 400Z. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to 102.3 Penguin Radio, Up to Speed, or on the Penguin Radio website, you are also listening to Up to Speed. We'll be back. And we're back. Welcome back to episode 8 of Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website. For this next segment, we have a car that doesn't have enough wheels. We have the 2021 Polaris Slingshot, a car with no doors, one less wheel, and costs more than it should. But in all seriousness, the Polaris Slingshot, if you don't know, if you've ever been cruising around in a weird part of town or a nicer area, or you see someone's driveway or something, and you just see this weird looking car that has, two front wheels, and it has only one back wheel and no doors. It just you have to crawl in through the top. It has no roof. You just kind of sit in it. You have your two front wheels, you got your one back wheel, two seats, and you kind of think to yourself, well, that's kind of strange. Who would buy one of those? What's the point of that? And to be honest, I don't think the people who buy these things really know. But it does look like a whole lot of fun. And with the 2021 Polaris Slingshot, you get a few new features that'll help you not crash into a wall because you have one less wheel. For this new year, we get an added optional automated sequential manual transmission, which is a lot of words. And if you don't know, it's basically, you just imagine a stick shift, except you just push it up to change gear up, and then you push it down to change gear down. But you still have a clutch. That's basically what a sequential gearbox is. So it's pretty cool we got that feature. That sounds pretty awesome. I think that's something I would go for. You don't really get to see a lot of sequential gearboxes in cars on streetways. You only really see them on drift cars and race cars and things like that. But I think they're really cool, and I think that there is a market for them, and I think Polaris is going to be checking it out with their little slingshot here. So hopefully that does well. I want to see more of these sequential gearboxes be added into the car industry, because who doesn't want the fun of a manual shifter with the practicality of paddle shifters? We also get, however, a Magneti Marelli 5-speed single clutch manual transmission, which to the real car enthusiasts, the people who want the most raw possible experience with a car, this is what you would go for. This is what's going to be the most mechanical, most raw feeling driving experience that you're probably going to be able to have on the road. It's as close to having an open wheel race car that you get to drive around on your own on the streets. And with this manual transmission, it's going to be a whole lot of fun, I can promise you that. But again, money. The other good feature that we get is paddle shifters that are attached to the steering wheel. So, if you don't know and you aren't a car person, paddle shifters can be either attached to the wheel or attached to the steering column. When they're attached to the steering column, the problem is when you're going to brake and you're trying to bang into a little corner and downshift, you're going to be turning the wheel, but the paddle shifters are going to stay where they are. So your hand, which it would be your left hand, which is used to pressing the downshift, is now on the right side where the upshift is. So if you're not thinking fast enough and you just move your left hand to click whatever's there, you're gonna upshift, which is not ideal at all, and you're probably going to crash into a wall. That's what the old slingshots had, and it wasn't the best feature, so they have moved them to on the steering wheel, so when you turn your hands with the wheel, the gears will stay with, which hand is which. It'll stay, downshift will still be your left hand, even if it's on the right side. Which is a really nice feature that we get added here. We should have had it before, but now we don't. We get the auto drive feature, which is the feature that adds those wheel mounted paddle shifters. You also get no, you really don't get much else with that package, huh? No, you yeah, you know you don't. So yeah, auto drives if you want the paddle shifters. If you're a car enthusiast, I don't think you should really go for those. If you're buying a slingshot in general, I don't think you should go for those because if you're buying a slingshot, you're not a car enthusiast and you don't know how to use a manual. I don't know if the slingshot's a car that you should really be looking at. But, who knows? Yeah, overall, slingshot looks like it would be a whole lot of fun. It has pretty much no practicality whatsoever, but you're not really buying this thing for practicality. You're buying it to, go 0 to 60 in 5 seconds and cruise around the mountains and have a good time with the wind blowing in your face. Which is it's respectable. It's not, yeah. The base price is going to be starting at $21,000, which, it's a lot for a weekend toy, obviously. You're not buying this thing if you haven't been thinking about it for a very long time, or you're in a midlife crisis. In that case, if you're between the ages of 35 and 45, I think that you should take a little bit more time thinking about if you really want this or if you should save this for something else. But if you're not in that range and you're insane enough to want one of these, you're gonna cough up the money and you're gonna have a good time. The SL version is 26,000, the R is 33, and the R limited edition is $34,000 base, with no options. Overall, pretty awesome car. Pretty awesome features. Do really like that sequential gearbox along with the Magneti Marelli transmission. And yeah, 200 horse, 178 to 203 horsepower is plenty for this thing. There isn't really any competition to talk about because nothing else is wild enough to just have three wheels and basically be a motorcycle or a go-kart or anything but a car. But yeah, it's just a cool weekend toy I wanted to feature on here because I think out of all of the random feature toys. I think that this one, the KTM crossbow, and the BAC Mono are the three best toy cars, and I think for these last three shows that we have here, I think I'm going to feature all three of them. So wanted to feature the slingshot today, probably the crossbow tomorrow, and then we might finish it off with the mono for show 10. But I might change the order of that. So you may not know what you're getting next week, so who knows? You might have to tune in just to see what we're talking about. That's going to wrap up this segment. We'll be back in a second. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio. And again, we'll be back. Welcome back to Up to Speed, only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic, and for this segment, we have a car that we have talked about on this show way, way too much, but in this case, it has a bigger back end, and a few cooler features. The GMC Hummer EV. Car that we talked about quite a lot, got a three-letter tag on the other day, with the SUV version being revealed, the 2024 year model SUV, that is. It's going to be the first year that the SUV version is available. As you all know, the Hummer was originally an SUV vehicle. It was in the military. It was during the H1, it was during the H2, and during the H3, they added a little bit of a pickup version that was kind of horrible, but most H3s were about as horrible anyways, so most people kind of let it slide. If you have one of those now, I'm sorry. They're probably pretty cool to be inside, but they're probably not the best to walk out of, because every time you walk out of it, you gotta walk out of your plastic chrome Hummer pickup truck that's twice the size of every spot in Marin. But if you don't own one of those, this might be the one that you actually do want to buy, because the new GMC Hummer EV SUV 2024 year model is going to be available with a 6-kilowatt power station generator. Now, what this means is it's basically literally just a generator. It can charge other EVs, it can charge other Hummers, it can charge a generator. I mean, it is a generator. It can charge anything out in the field. You could just be out in the desert and you need to set up some big, you know, film lights or something like that. You can just plug them straight into your truck. You need to light a, you know, you have an electric stove, you have heated water, something like that. You can do that with your new Hummer SUV. I also think the SUV version, in my opinion, looks a lot better than the other version, and the roof is still as removable. So in my mind, I don't see why you would buy the pickup unless you needed an outdoor pickup, or like an uncapped outdoor space to put things like logs or something like that. And even then, I still think that you could just open the tailgate and you'd be fine with the SUV version. I don't think the pickup version's tailgate is big enough to warrant it being useful, really. I think it would have to be either longer and a full, like, pickup truck, or it be an SUV, which is what we have here. And the SUV version is going to be on sale in 2023 with the 2024, year model tag, because car companies think it's awesome to reveal their cars and just put them for the next year model and then release them the year before. I mean, I understand the marketing theme behind that, but it is just kind of mundane now, and I think everybody knows that, and it's not really working as well because they keep releasing them earlier and earlier and earlier. I mean, we're already getting like 2022 cars coming out, and it's April of 2021, which is kind of ridiculous. But you know, who knows? It's going to have 830 horsepower. Yeah, on a different note, 830 horsepower for your SUV, off-road SUV. We're early in the future. This is what we're getting now. The Ford F-150 also. The Ford F-150 hybrids also offered an onboard generator, but the EV SUV version is going to be a little bit better, and it's also technically not a generator because the car is the generator, which is a little bit different than Ford's system because Ford just actually has a generator in it. But GMC... And GMC also says that the generator will be available in the pickup truck model, but not yet. And on some good news, the pickup truck model is set to be out this fall, which is kind of insane, which I didn't think we were going to get this car for another 2 years. We're getting it this fall, and we're going to be able to see it on the road, and we're going to get drive tests of it, and... Oh, I can't wait to see this thing. This is going to be one of those cars that if I see it at car meet, I'm going to go straight to. I want to check this thing out immediately. I think it has so many cool features. I think the interior is awesome. I think the whole styling looks awesome. I think all the features are awesome. To me, this is the best electric pickup truck / electric SUV that you can buy. The Model X for me had it for a very, very long time. I think its auto drive features and a lot of just Tesla's tech in general is fantastic, but I think that it's behind now, and this new Hummer EV has all the features that it does: the auto drive, all the backup cameras, all the detective driving things and safety features, and it also has a generator, it also has a nicer interior, it also has 830 horsepower. I mean, there's so many more benefits that it has over the Model X that I can't warrant saying that the Model X is still the best EV SUV anymore, because although it might be better for, you know, getting around Calabasas or some small towns or things like that, I think overall, if you're going to use it to go places and to travel, this is going to be the much better option for you. You can take this up to the mountains. You can take this to Tahoe. You can take this to go snowboarding and do things like that, just because it's a lot more rugged. It's a lot better built, it's a lot firmer, and it's lifted. It's more for that. It's more for journeys. It's more of a Jeep-style SUV, which is great, and I think that's what an SUV should be, and I think that GMC has done a fantastic job with this whole Hummer EV thing. A lot of people, including myself, doubted GMC because we thought that they were gonna do what they did with the Mustang. They're just gonna make an EV car and then just throw one of their old famous tags on it and sell it as if it was one of those cars, even though it really wasn't. But I think this car has taken what the Hummer was going to be, what the Hummer was supposed to be, which is a rugged, practical, useful, everyday vehicle. Even in the military, that's what it was for. And it came to the U.S., and it came to the U.S., you know, market commercially, and it just kind of flopped because it took all the practicality of the military stuff and kind of left that and didn't make it practical for everyday use, which was a big problem. It was just this car that, you know, would be great if I took it to Afghanistan, but not if I took it to the grocery store. And I think that this car has taken the rugged usefulness and practicality of the Hummer and what the Hummer should be and made it a civilian-focused version, finally. It only took 20-something years for us to get a consumer-focused, practical Hummer, but we finally got one, and I'm really excited for it, and I think that a lot more people should keep their eye on it, because I think it's really sweeping under the radar for how unbelievable it is. I mean, it has more horsepower than almost two Lamborghinis combined, and can power a house, and no one's really talking about it. In other words, I would personally wait for the 2024 Hummer SUV instead of buying the Hummer now, just because to me the SUV version is going to be your most practical version of the Hummer EV, and it's my personal favorite, so that's what I'm having to go for. But if you need a pickup, go and get yourself a pickup. It's out right now. You can, or you mean it's not out right now, but you can order one right now, which is pretty awesome. If you have the money coming around, I would definitely keep your eyes on this. Anyways, that's going to be wrapping up this segment. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to Up to Speed only on 102.3 Penguin Radio, or most likely, because this is on the website, the Penguin Radio website. You're probably watching from there. So, in that case, keep watching from there, and we'll be listening. I don't even know why I'm saying watching. You're not watching anything. I'm going to end this segment. I'll be back. Welcome back to Up to Speed on 102.3 Penguin Radio, or the Penguin Radio website. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. And there's a lot of vehicles that here in the US and even in the UK, we don't really get our hands on. It's hard to tell just because, you know, we don't have the strictest laws, but the US has some pretty, pretty strict laws when it comes to vehicles and regulating vehicles. The UK definitely has stronger ones. However, the US, you know, you can't have window tints, obviously. You can't do things with the rear bumper. You can't do some things with the front bumper. You have to have certain color taillights. You have to have them flash in a certain way. You have to have certain types of running lights during the day and certain types of brights that you can only have on at certain times. And a lot of these regulations and things like this just kind of make it so that we don't see a lot of cars. That's one of the causes. Another cause is culturally wise, you know, there's not really a market for some cars that there are markets for in other areas. There's a much bigger market for two-door coupe sedans in Japan than there is in the United States. There is a much bigger, you know, demand for smaller cars in the UK than compared to how many pickup trucks and big vehicles like that are in the US. You almost never see pickup trucks in the UK just because of how small their roads are. It wouldn't make sense, and so most US truck makers don't sell pickup trucks in the UK. A lot of things like this happen, and it's a very common thing in the world of cars. There's just a lot of cars that a lot of people just don't get access to. Obviously, there's a lot of importing. That's how in the US we're able to get things like the Toyota Supra, the RX-7, and, you know, vehicles like that that weren't sold in the US. You can also import things like S15s and S14s, Nissans, and Although those ones are more difficult because they weren't sold in the U.S., not because they just weren't, but because they weren't under the emission standards. You have to get them converted a little bit, and then you can get them imported, which is a much harder process. So there is a way to get some cars over here, but a lot of people just end up not doing it, and so we are left without a lot of cars that, you know, I think are pretty cool. And today I wanted to feature one of those specific cars that we were never going to see in the U.S., but is just a really awesome and really cool car that got made for a different market, that market being the Middle East, and the car being a Nissan Armada, which you're thinking, what is that? And what is that? Is that a sports car I don't know about? No. A Nissan Armada is a car you don't know about because it's not a car that you should know about. It's basically Nissan's SUV. Their big family SUV that, you know, you'll see cruising around the road. You'll be like, oh, that's a huge SUV. And it has the giant Nissan badge on the back. And you're like, oh, that's what that is. It's that car that you see going down the road. Everyone has seen one occasionally. It's just a very, for some reason, massive-looking SUV. But for the Middle East, and for the Middle East only, Nissan has made a Nissan Armada Nismo. And if you don't know what Nissan Armada Nismo means, Nismo is Nissan's racing division. And Nismo works on cars like the Nissan GT-R, the Nissan 350Z, and things like that to make them their most... It's basically their most performance model. It's like AMG for Mercedes. It's like M for BMW. It's like top of the line. They have made an Armada Nismo, and it is as cool as it sounds. 428 horsepower coming out of a 5.6 liter V8 made by the same people who hand-build the Nissan GT-R engines in Japan. It is not an April Fool's joke. It's a real car that is being made, and I mean, its competition is the Dodge Durango SRT and the BMW X7, which it's hilarious even saying that there's competition for a 450 horsepower V8 SUV that weighs a ridiculous amount of weight. I don't even know that how much. I'm sure plenty got reduced, but I'm sure it still weighs about the same as a building or two. Overall, I think it's just possibly the coolest thing ever. 22-inch wheels on platinum models. The interior is a little bit more sporty. You got bucket seats, which is awesome. Obviously not like full bucket seats, but just the bucket seats that they throw in these kind of cars, like half bucket seats, I think they're called, or something like that. They're the ones that you see in every commercial vehicle that, or commercial sports car that says they have bucket seats. They just add some little wings by your shoulders and a little bit deeper hip areas, and that's about it. But I still think it's a really cool touch, and I think there's some pretty cool seats. It gets a pretty awesome looking exterior. It's got in the model pictures, we have a giant red front splitter. We get also a rear splitter, which is just as cool. You get some fog lights, which make the car look a lot better and not as tall. It looks a little bit closer to the ground just because of having those lights so close to the ground, which is hilarious because I didn't think you could make this car look sporty, and they've managed to do it. In the back, you also get a rear splitter, like I said, but it has an integrated fog light that is identical to the kind that you would find in Nissan's Formula E racing cars, which is, if you don't know, it's basically a middle light that has just a bunch of red dots that fill it. But have that on a Nissan Armada, if I saw that on the road, I don't know what I would think. I, I'd be questioning what I was seeing, and rightfully so, because not, I'm at a loss for words with this car, really, if you can't tell. There's not much I can say. It kind of speaks for itself. It's a 450 horsepower SUV that looks like a building that has a giant front splitter and a Formula One fog light on the back. Obviously, it's not being sold in the U.S. for obvious reasons. There's not too much of a market here for it. Plus, we already have the Dodge Durango SRT, which would pretty much slaughter this thing in every possible way. It's just something that the... But again, the Dodge Durango is not sold in the Middle East, and this is. So this is their only version of a crazy fast SUV. And the Middle East, if you don't know, they love their cars in Dubai. In Dubai specifically, they... it's probably the capital of supercars for the world. I think it used to be Monaco, but I think Dubai has definitely taken over that spot. Or at least is very close to doing so because of how many ridiculous vehicles are there. So this car will fit right in with all of the crazy, ridiculous stuff that's there. So that's perfect place to sell it, and that's why Nissan's going to sell it there, and they're not going to take it to the US, unfortunately. Hopefully there is a way to get this thing imported. I would love to see it imported. Seeing that at a meet would make my day. I think it would make a lot of people's days. I don't think it breaks any US standards. I just don't think there was a market out here for the car. So I think importing it could be possible, but obviously expensive. And it's probably pretty hard to get your hands on one of these because they're probably going to sell out very fast because of the rarity of the vehicle, and a lot of people want to collect these Nismos. Overall, just wanted to feature a really cool car being made that you may not see and you may have never known about. So yeah, that's going to wrap up this segment, and that's going to wrap up today's show. I hope you all enjoyed. We got to talk about a lot of really cool cars today, a lot of really interesting things. Only one of them was kind of a letdown. The rest of them, really, really interesting, really awesome cars that I can't wait to see on the road in the coming years, hopefully driven by some of the listeners here. That's going to wrap it up for today. I'm your host, DJ Mechanic. You're listening to Up to Speed, or we're listening to Up to Speed, on 102.3 Penguin Radio or the Penguin Radio website, and I'll see you all next week.